Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Willie Donick joining the show at 8:30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Preds Pick the Click coming up a little bit later this hour as well. And as we have been all show long, discussing the DeMar Hamlin situation last night on Monday Night Football. DeMar Hamlin in a collision with T. Higgins of the Cincinnati Bengals. Collapses on the field, had to be administered CPR and taken to UC Medical Center in Cincinnati, where as of the latest update we have, he is still in critical condition at UC Medical Center in Cincinnati. So we will keep you updated on the latest developments on the status of DeMar Hamlin throughout the show today, and take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, As we discussed this situation, you pointed this out earlier, but the Toy Drive charity that DeMar Hamlin has been a part of, I think the goal originally was $2,500. I think they are now over $3 million in the money that they've raised for his charity. So some good coming from an awful situation, but we still hoping and praying for the best for DeMar Hamlin and his recovery.
It is. I mean, that's the thing. You can find people who, like Bayless or whatever, these tweets or people saying what they do, people trying to make this political too or whatever. But how many times in situations like this do you see like a massive rallying of people to help out someone, you know? That's part of why there's optimism for the human race, Robbie.
Yeah, that is part.
Let's talk about the world at large.
That's right. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars on Saturday for the AFC South. Mike Vrabel confirming yesterday that Josh Dobbs will be the starting quarterback for the Titans in that game. It's not a surprise, but he did confirm that yesterday, that Dobbs will be starting coming up on Saturday. A week of Derrick Henry getting back in there, back in the swing of things as they begin practice this week. David Long Jr., we'll see what the status of him and he looks like heading into this game. Obviously, it goes without saying, a huge game coming up on Saturday. It was interesting. I was listening to Jared yesterday on Stillman and Company, and just what he was talking about with the fan base and how they feel heading into this game. Do Titans fans actually not want to win this game for draft status? And as his show went on, I think I would probably describe it as more and more people were in the camp, at least vocally on his show yesterday, of, yeah, let's win. Let's get in the playoffs, and let's take that route. We've heard from people kind of on both sides of things on our show of, man, it's the playoffs. It's the division. I want to win. I want to take down Jacksonville. Certainly want to take down Jacksonville one more time before – maybe potentially they go on a run here. And then we've heard from the other side of people that say, well, I want the draft pick. I want the higher draft pick and what that can mean for the Titans as they move forward. This is a conversation that we can have, you know, kind of either way. We're going to know one way or the other once the result is final on Saturday what it's going to look like for the Titans as they move forward. The more I think about it, Joe, the more I'm kind of in Jared's camp, which is – it's the playoffs. Like, you've got a chance to get in the playoffs. And I know that nobody thinks the Titans are going to do anything in the playoffs this time around. But one point that he continued to bring up yesterday that I agree with, I mean, it's a one-game thing in the playoffs. You're telling me in one game the Titans couldn't take down the Chargers or the Ravens or whoever would end up being in the first round? Like, by and large, we talk about this all the time in hockey, right? Like, just get into the tournament and anything can happen. And we've seen teams go on crazy runs. I mean, heck, we saw the Predators go on a run to the Stanley Cup final in 2017. By and large, though, in hockey, like, the best team is going to win in a seven-game series. You've got seven games to sort out who the best team is. In football, I mean, it's a one-game thing. I mean, he brought up the example yesterday. Like, the Packers and the 49ers last year, if they played seven times, who'd win? It'd probably be the Packers. But a one-game playoff, anything can happen. So I know you don't want your strategy as a Titans fan to just be like, well, anything can happen heading into the playoffs, but you do have an opportunity to make the playoffs. You do have a defense that, as they're getting healthier, I think gives you a chance heading into the playoffs, and we'll see what Josh Dobbs is able to make of it at the quarterback position.
I think the one argument I would I heard some of Jared talking about this yesterday, and he equated like what you just said with the NHL and the NBA. I mean, the NHL, you do still have. I mean, I don't think every time in the NHL the best team wins a 7-game series, right? In the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, you get
not
some,
every time,
some
but most
upsets.
Of the time, I think they do.
Like in the NBA, it's like chalk city. Oh, you know? Yeah. So like those two are different, but yeah, you get to a 1-game thing so often in the NFL playoffs. You have surprising runs. The Bengals, no one had them going to the freaking Super Bowl last year. It happens a lot. Those Giants teams, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I think it's an easy call. It's also like, and I think Jared made a really good point on the Lions. Like their fans are like, their poor fans are just giddy with the idea of just getting in, right? I mean, Titans fans now are used to going to the playoffs. So now the question is, well, can you make a run? Can you go to the Super Bowl? You know, there's also just, can you get into the playoffs? That alone as a reward is, for some fan bases and franchises, that's a huge thing. I know that's not what the situation is here. They were a one seed last year. They made the AFC title game 3 years ago. But there's still value in just being in the tournament. I mean, one, the uncertainty of what will happen because you don't know. And two, just that it is an achievement. I mean, it's an achievement in this league more than certainly the two of these we're just talking about, NHL, NBA. I mean, making the NFL playoffs is a bigger achievement. So.
For sure.
But it is all your perspective and like what's – like when the Titans made the playoffs, and of course they fired the coach, but when they made the playoffs in 2017, that was a huge deal on its own. Wow, got to the playoffs. It had been 9 years, right? So – but I just – like the whole argument of like, no, get a better draft pick to me, it's just – it's a negligible difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if you're talking about, you know, a top five pick, right? I mean, Jared brought up the example the other day of, you know, the Titans back when John Robinson first took over, they had the number one overall pick. And heading into that final game, I think it was against Indianapolis that year, it was still up in the air as to whether or not they're going to get the number one overall pick. And when you're in a situation like that, I'm like, yeah, why don't you just go ahead and lose?
Oh, heck
why don't you just
yes.
go ahead and get number one overall
Texans
pick?
Fans have been rooting for losses
oh, yeah.
for weeks.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in a situation like that, I understand it. I really do. I mean, you've won 7 games now. I mean, what's your best case scenario? 10th, I think, is their best case scenario to be drafting at this point. I mean,
I think that's right.
It's a good pick. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a top 10 draft pick. But what you said yesterday, I think, is the apt way to look at it. When you start to get that deep, and really anywhere in the draft, but when you start to get into the, you know, the teens and past the first 5, it's really about being smart on who you select. I mean, it's not an exact science anywhere. I mean, how many number one overall picks can you point to that say, ooh, that one didn't work out too well for whoever took them? I mean, it happens all the time in the NFL. So none of it's an exact science. Really, what should matter to Titans fans, in my opinion, more than anything else, is whatever this process is getting ready to look like, whether that's with Mike Vrabel being in charge of most of the decision-making, whether it's the new GM and the scouting department in the draft, a collaboration of the two, whatever it looks like moving forward, what I would care about, regardless of the draft pick and this and where they're picking, if I'm the Titans fans, is do you have competent people in place to make better draft decisions than you've made the last 2-3 years? Like, that's where my mindset would be. And look, John Robinson did a lot of really good things. You know, there looks like there are some signs from this past draft that they could have some good players coming out of this draft. So I'm not saying that John Robinson was like some total failure drafting players. I mean, 2019, we've talked about that draft all the time. It's a great draft. But 20 and 21, not good for the Titans. Can whatever the next regime looks like, can they be better at identifying the type of players that they need, the type of players that can come in and make impacts immediately with some of their top picks, which has been a struggle as of late? And players who can stay healthy would be great too if they could do that moving forward.
Yeah, that might be beneficial. Joe Dan from White House says, we suck, all caps, at drafting first round anyway, so why do we want to get the playoffs and try to pull some upsets? Joe Dan, I'm going to break this to you right now. The Titans fired their GM, so you don't know who we, you know, like who is drafting it. We don't know.
That's true.
That's always interesting to me when people talk about teams like the Titans, like history with receivers or whatever. It's like,
yeah.
Why? How would you even relate a totally different front office to a previous? I understand. I mean, like, I understand ownership. And believe me, ownership can make something bad consistently. Detroit Lions. But, like, you know, I feel like you have, when you have different people in the front office picking players, it's hard to draw parallels, isn't it?
I think so.
People still do.
Like, I mean, let's take the Predators example, right? Like, they've historically struggled finding and developing high-level forwards, right, and drafting them.
That you can talk about.
That you can talk about because the same guy's been there for 25 years, right?
Right.
And it's been, you know, they've been great at finding and developing defensemen, great at finding and developing goaltenders, and they've struggled a little bit in the forward department. So it's a little bit of a different scenario there. But, yeah, I did – like, that was part of the discussion for A.J. Brown, right? Like, the Titans can never find any receivers, and then they're letting that one go. And, look, they shouldn't let A.J. Brown go.
No.
But, I mean, you're talking about going back 25 years with four or five different front offices that have been in there in terms of not finding receivers.
Yeah.
Not the same group of people.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, yeah, I mean, I would say the second half, Joe Dan, I agree. Like, why not try to get in and see what you can do?
We'll take more of your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from OrderGreen.com.
OrderGreen.com, of course, nation's number one online shop for all things CBD and THC. And you're talking vape, gummies, flower, anything you can think of, they've got it. They also have tremendously knowledgeable staff. So you know that you are getting quality products from reputable providers. Again, this is shop online, OrderGreen.com, and you can get nationwide same-day delivery right to your doorstep. And if you have a subscription to OrderGreen.com, you get 25% off every shipment of gummies with that. And if you use promo code JOE20, J-O-E-2-0, you get 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Ray, who has been waiting patiently. Ray, thanks for hanging with us. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. The reason I'm calling is because yesterday I just happened to casually tune in The Game, which I forgot there was a big game going on last night, and I just happened to see that play happen live. And I really didn't know or understand the magnitude of the incident. And I was looking at some of the players and the coaches, and I just wonder, with the record that they have, the Bills, you know, when you have somebody go down like that and you have to administer life-saving procedures, do you think that he could have forfeited the game? Because it's just one game, and I think it's the health and the player is more important. I just want to hang up and have your thoughts. I would forfeit the game if I would have been in his shoes. Thank you so much, and I'll hang up and I'll listen.
Well, thanks for the call. I mean, look, I think the coaches and the staffs of both teams handle things well. I mean, obviously, you can't really prepare for a situation like that. I mean, you've got, in the Bills' case, a teammate going down, and not just going down with an injury, but going down with a life-threatening scenario that you're watching play out before your very eyes. I mean, I can't put myself in their shoes. I can just imagine how I would react in that situation, Joe. And the last thing I'd be worried about is the outcome of that football game. I mean, it would be the last thing that would be on my mind. And look, I know the NFL is a business, and I know that there's a regular season to finish, and I know that both the Bills and the Bengals are going to be in the playoffs. So there's a back part of this that they're going to have to get figured out that they can worry about, you know, as time goes on here. But the immediate concern, I think, pretty clearly last night was where it should have been, which is with the health of DeMar Hamlin. Not just the health of DeMar Hamlin. I mean, once that's out of your hands and he's in the ambulance and he's on the way to the hospital, I mean, you're praying for him. You're doing whatever you can do to, you know, keep your mind and thoughts with him. But it's also like, if you're Sean McDermott in that situation, you got a team full of guys that are hurting and are right there with him, and that's their teammate, that's their brother going into the hospital there. And you gotta be with those guys, and you gotta make sure that those guys are doing okay. I mean, we talked about this earlier. It was gut-wrenching last night to like watch Josh Allen's face and watch Stephon Diggs' face. Like it got to the point where I was like, just get the camera off of him. Like I know that it's a news event, and I get all that, but It was tough to watch, like Josh Allen and those guys reacting the way they did last night. And look, you know, I'd probably be reacting the same way. I'm not saying anything that's wrong with the way that they reacted. It was just tough to watch that in live time last night.
No, very. And again, like that totally changed. It seemed not run of the mill, but it seemed like things we've seen before in terms of him collapsing. I mean, you've seen that before, and usually it's concussion related, like someone like passing or you know, getting knocked out. Then their reaction was like, wait a minute, what is going on? And then, you know, kind of unfolded from there. You know, the NFL thing, we had Carolina on earlier, seen it a lot, or heard it a lot. And I didn't really think about this until Sam Farmer from the LA Times tweeted out a thread last night. There was logic in not calling the game right away. There was logic in not calling the game right away and having everyone stream out of the stadium and all these things. So that, and I don't have no idea if that's what went into the decision, but you do. There's a reason to be ponderous on things like that logistically. The 5 minute thing is probably going to be an ongoing story. Troy Vincent from the NFL has called it ridiculous that no one didn't come from him, but I mean Joe Buck got it from somebody.
Yeah, I mean it came from somewhere.
So someone gave the, you know, have 5 minutes, warm up and come back, and you know, of course that's just silly and ridiculous and good for, you know, the teams for getting together, the coaches for getting together and getting them off the field. And I mean it's just like imagine even trying to play after that. I mean I mean again, like you said, there's back end decisions to make on this. I have no idea what it's going to be. Like what would the they both get like the tie or something,
no,
and they just don't play the game? I don't know. But certainly in that moment, there's just absolutely no way you can ask someone to play a football game after that.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate. Nate, thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. Hey, Michelle. By the way, Michelle, congratulations on your new show.
Thanks, Nate.
So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch the game last night before everything happened. I saw on the ESPN app feed that, you know, DeMar was injured, and that's when I, and, you know, you go to social media and you see that's pretty serious. And so I went to go watch the ESPN broadcast, and I stayed up till 11 o'clock watching SVP. And I probably would not have done that if something this serious wasn't going on. You know, the Nashville Predators have a game tonight. The Titans have a game this weekend. Let's try, at least for today, keep in mind, you know, who's playing, who might, you know, be owning the team, running the team. Let's try to have a heart tonight during the Preds game. And, you know, if something's not going your way, don't get too belligerent like we usually do. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, thanks for calling, Nate. I mean, it's we've talked about like the human side of this all show long, Joe, and just in terms of watching this unfold last night. And like you said, I mean, first and foremost, I said this earlier, like just putting myself in the family of DeMar Hamlin's shoes, it's I can't even imagine what that would be like and what they're going through right now. So the first and foremost focus for me is him, his health, his family, and praying for that situation and just hoping that the best possible outcome happens here with DeMar Hamlin. And then beyond that, you know, it was interesting to watch the coverage of it last night from this standpoint. Like, it's a situation where if you're Joe Buck or Troy Aikman or Susie Colbert, who was in the studio show, I mean, there's no way to prepare for something like that. And like you said, Joe, you're reacting in live time to a terrifying situation that's unprecedented from what we've seen on national TV, kind of like unfolding right before your eyes. And you're doing it with very little information. Like, we knew that DeMar Hamlin was in the ambulance. He was on the way to the hospital. They had to administer CPR to him. And we eventually found out that he got to the hospital, was in critical condition when the NFL and the Bills released their statement. Like, that's basically all the information that they had to go with. And, you know, I thought ESPN, who You know, we've criticized before for some of the different things that they've done and the way they've handled some situations. I thought everybody on the broadcast last night really deserved credit. Like, Booger McFarland, you could tell he was really struggling, like, in terms of just it was an emotional experience for him. I think it was an emotional experience for everybody watching what was going on. And I just thought some of the things that he said, some of the things that Schefter said, Susie Colbert, Joe Buck, Lisa Salters, Troy Aikman, and then eventually Scott Van Pelt. And to Nate's point, I watched a lot of Van Pelt last night too. I just thought they did a really good job of covering just a really difficult situation.
No, without question. Without question. Handled it. There's no way. There's no real playbook. And I thought they did really well. It was tough. I mean, it was tough for me to watch eventually because it was like I felt for them. Yeah. I was like, obviously you're terrified and you're thinking about DeMar Hamlin and the situation, but also you also know like there's probably going to be a time period here with no new information. And I mean, we're sitting here today hoping for, you know, better news, an improvement in his condition at the hospital. But it was tough because, like, you know, they have to keep it going and it's, you know, there's not a lot, but they did a really, really good job. And Ryan Clark, some of the stuff he said about, you know, being a player in this league also was really powerful. Look, I think it was handled really well all around. And to Nate's point, I mean, maybe there's just a bigger thing of, I guess, be nicer in general. But then usually when things happen, you know, like it lasts for a little while and then everybody gets back to screaming at each other. But
well, I mean,
something to keep in mind.
Yeah, I mean, certainly something to keep in mind as you move forward here. And I thought also just kind of watching this unfold last night as it was going on in live time. Like, I saw a lot of people on Twitter talking about, well, if you're ESPN, like, why are you just leaving Susie Colbert and Booger McFarland and everybody out to dry right now and just, like, forcing them to talk about this with no new information? And, look, I understand that thought process. I kind of had a similar thought. And then I got to thinking about it. I was like, well, what would be the right move here? Like, you're showing, like, old games or highlights or a 30 for 30. Like, there's not really much you could do there that would be viewed as not being very sensitive there if you're ESPN.
Yeah.
I don't know what the right move would be.
No, I agree. I mean, that's the thing. So, let's see. What did I tweet? I said, the announcing/studio crews have handled this well, but they shouldn't be asked to carry on right now until more is known. That was in the immediate aftermath. And, you know, it's – And Steve Lehman actually responded, like, actually, great reference. Like, are they supposed to show, like, replays of Scholastic Sports America? Do you remember that, by
no,
the way?
No, I don't.
Okay. That's a heck of a reference by Steve Lehman, which exposes both of our ages. But, it is tough. And the thing is, like, the NFL Network, I saw people criticizing them because they were showing, like, a 30 for 30 or whatever, like a Football Life or something like that, rather than having their own, like, sort of news coverage of this, which is an interesting – which the idea, of course, being, the NFL doesn't want to talk about, you know, safety of the game stuff. So it's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right, and look, there's also, you know, broadcast window stuff that comes up in that too. Like, there's a whole lot that goes into it. So, again, I don't know what the right move would have been there, but I just was – I was impressed with the way that they handled it. And, again – you know, we've said it 1,000 times a day, but no new information thus far this morning in terms of the status of DeMar Hamlin. Last we heard, he's in critical condition. That was the statement that Buffalo put out overnight, and we'll wait and see what happens on that point and update you as more information becomes available, maybe throughout the day today, but whenever that information comes across, we'll have you updated here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live from the 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Tennessee Superbook is the number one sports book in Las Vegas. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Willie Donick. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds taking on Montreal tonight and get his thoughts on this DeMar Hamlin situation as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Willie Donick from Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Willie, also obviously the voice of the Nashville Predators on the TV broadcast on Bally Sports, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. Willie, good morning. How we doing?
Good morning, guys. Hanging in there. Good to talk to you.
Good to have you with us this morning. And Willie, obviously a big matchup for the Preds tonight, which we'll get to here in just a few minutes. But starting with just a horrifying situation last night on Monday Night Football with DeMar Hamlin collapsing, being in cardiac arrest, having to be administered CPR, and then going to the hospital where he remains in critical condition. And we had David Poyle on earlier, and I'll be honest, watching it last night in the aftermath of it, Willie, one of the things I thought about was the Uri Fisher situation between the Predators and Detroit. I want to say that was 2005, maybe 2006, over a decade ago, and Uri Fisher collapses on the bench for the Red Wings with his own cardiac episode. Now, thankfully, he ended up being okay. His playing career ended there, but Poyle kind of went down the, you know, memory lane in terms of his version of what happened on that night. And I know that you were actually in studio covering that game. What do you remember about that night and that moment with Uri Fisher and the Red Wings?
Yeah, I thought about that a little bit last night as I watched along with all of us, you know, the situation in Cincinnati last night, and just, you know, it's hard to prepare for that kind of thing. You know, as a broadcaster, we've done, you know, now, you know, fast forward a few years, we've done some training things where they show situations like that where it gets very, very difficult to know what to say, how to say it. You certainly don't want to speculate. But what I remember about the Uri Fisher thing, we had an example of how not to cover something. Pete and Terry, obviously, on the call on site in Detroit when that happened, they did a fantastic job. There became a point where there was nothing else to say. So they threw it back to the studio, and that's where I was. And I was by myself. So I could only say so much in sort of the same light. I was more or less echoing what Pete and Terry said, because you're waiting for news, you're hoping for good news, but you don't really know when you're going to get anything. Eventually, that game was suspended. But what I did, after I kind of ran out of any more I could say, I sent it back to Fox Sports Radio, which was our national affiliate at the time at the station I was on. And they started talking about it, but they were disconnected from the situation. They hadn't really been following it. And they sort of made light of it. They were very, you know, just they had the wrong tact. You know, they said some sort of wisecracking things that was kind of the style of the show that was on. And so I just decided to nix it right there. I said, you know, that's not how we want to cover this. So I had to take it back. And then fortunately for me, after that happened, they suspended the game, and then we could go ahead and end the broadcast and sort of say what the league had said at that point. But those are very difficult situations to cover. Obviously, all of your thoughts are not at all on the sporting event at all. It's just on the person involved, and you're hoping that you get some positive news. I thought ESPN overall did a pretty solid job with all of that, because that was so tough. That was so tough because we're going on an hour without anything really new that's happening. You're waiting for some sort of positive outlook. But, man, those situations are obviously very, very tough.
Yeah, wow, that's really interesting about your situation. Yeah, and I was going to ask you that, what you thought of, because that's the thing, like we were just talking about last segment, Willie, like, early on when it was clear, especially in the early going, like when you kind of understand, you know, he's being taken away and everything, everybody's distraught, but you know it's going to be a while before there's any information. I thought, I was like, gosh, I just, like, this is so, it was hard for me to watch them, but I agree with you that I think they did they did the best with what, you know, the situation was at the time. And then I thought, you know, later, you know, Scott Van Pelt, Ryan Clark. I mean, there was a lot of, I think, good commentary and appropriate commentary. But, yeah, what as you watch it all unfolded, what did you think?
Yeah, I, you know, I thought Booger McFarland showed a lot of empathy and emotion. I could tell that you have two things going on in your mind, I think. I think you're trying to control your emotions. We had a situation earlier this year, guys, I don't know if you guys were watching live. Robbie, I think you probably were, but when Mark Borowiecki hit his head on the railing, and he was knocked out cold. But the way he hit his head, you know, it was eerily silent at Bridgestone Arena, very much like the stadium last night. And for a while, we didn't know, you know, what had happened. And you certainly can't guess or anything like that. And so you're trying to control your emotions because you know this person. You know how important Mark Borowiecki is to the team. And I could tell, you know, for a former player like Booger McFarland and for Susie Colbert, who's been covering the league forever, there was emotion welling up inside of them. It's hard to know. It's hard to control what you're saying, and you're still also trying to think about how do I say what I want to say here without overstepping the line or saying anything that's going to, you know, look bad. So, that's an extremely tough position to be in, and you're getting no news. The next minute could be something, somebody's in your ear saying, okay, here's what we've got from the NFL, and you're waiting for that. You're hoping for that. You're hoping for good news, and it just didn't come for a long time. So that's a really, really tough situation to be in.
No question about it. And as we've said throughout the show here today, we'll continue to keep you updated on the status of DeMar Hamlin when and if more information is released as we go throughout the show here today. Willie, the Predators, 3 out of 4 points over the weekend. They get the win in Anaheim in dominant fashion, and it looked like they were in trouble in Vegas. And then Philip Forsberg takes over. He gets the hat trick and ended the weekend with 6 points. If he gets hot here for this team and can go on one of those runs that we've seen him go on several times in his career before where it feels like he's scoring every night, what do you think that could do for this group and this team? What do you think a resurgent Philip Forsberg could mean for this group as they move forward?
Well, that would help a lot, no question about it. He's a guy that, as you said, can go on runs like that, where he can carry you offensively, and that's what this team desperately needs for sure. And they need others to chip in as well who have gone through some droughts here that are capable of more. I mean, it's really the same thing. If they get offense, the rest of their game is a pretty solid team, I think, starting with the goaltenders. And I do think their defensive structure has been quite a bit improved. But they still got to get it up another notch here over the long haul as we get closer and closer to the midway point of the season. But it was certainly nice to see Forsberg take over. When they were down 4-2 in Vegas about midway through the third period, Chris Mason and I looked at each other and said, they look like they're out of gas. You know, they were playing on the back-to-back. Vegas was rested. Vegas had full control of the game. They had a power play where they stayed in the offensive zone the entire 2 minutes with a chance to go up 5-2. And they sort of just gutted it out, survived. And then they found another gear. They had 20 shots by the end of the third period, and Philip Forsberg was sort of leading the barrage, and they found a way to get it tied. And nearly, for people that didn't see it, Philip Forsberg hit the post in overtime. Can you imagine that? He would have had a fourth goal in a game winner with a game-tying goal late and a game-winning goal in overtime. That would have been something, but they had to settle for one.
So bouncing all over the place here with you, Willie. I just want to get your confidence level right now in the Tennessee Titans Saturday night in Jacksonville and with Joshua Dobbs, and your confidence level in him, you know, with, I guess it'll be like 16 days in the building trying to win an AFC South title for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I think about as I'm about as confident as you could hope to be given the situation with Josh Dobbs. I think he's about as well as he could. I think he's a really level-headed guy. He really impressed me after the game, how he's handled the whole situation. I think he's sort of won the respect of the team, and I don't know. I'm optimistic. I think you give me Jeffrey Simmons, Danico Autry, hopefully Christian Fulton. You give me Derrick Henry. I feel good about the whole team other than offensive line. I think the offensive line is going to be the key matchup in the game. I think Dobbs gives him at least a little hope that you can attack downfield, that if it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, you have some kind of chance of getting the ball down the field and picking up a first down, whereas I think that had no chance before with Malik Willis. It was getting to that point. So the other thing is Jacksonville is just playing really, really well. They finally figured it out. Their quarterback and their young players are only going to get better. So this is like the one last chance to grab another banner before I think Jacksonville becomes the year-in, year-out favorite for the next few years. I don't know if you guys disagree, but I think this is Jacksonville's chance to sort of take control of the division for a while with all of the young talent that they've got. You know, they probably should have had this thing wrapped up earlier, the way they gave away games early in the season.
No, I think you're spot on. Willie Donick here with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. Willie, great stuff as always. Really appreciate your perspective today. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Willie Donick brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Thanks, Robbie. And speaking of this Tennessee Titans and Jaguars game, Jags are favored by 6.5 points as they head into week 18. I am going to take the Tennessee Titans plus the 6.5. I think it's going to be a pretty close game, probably separated by about 3, but I'm going to take the Jags to win on the money line. And Superbook wants to help you win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. They have over 3 decades sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so they'll make sure to get you the best odds boost anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out their special odds boost and promotions for Superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sportsbook app and place your bets today. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
It's that time of the day. Time for Preds Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds in action tonight, taking on Montreal. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer tonight for the Preds, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. It is that time of the day. Time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. The Preds in action tonight, hosting the Montreal Canadiens at Bridgestone Arena. And the standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. Some separation in the competition. With Adam and Portland's correct guess of Philip Forsberg the other day, the listeners now with 9 correct answers have jumped out to a 2-answer lead in the competition. Joe Rexroad and myself still tied at 7 correct answers apiece. And Michelle Knezovic on the board the other day, going from 5 to 6. So Michelle closing in on Rexroad and myself, and the listeners creating a little bit of separation in the competition with 9 correct answers.
I didn't even know I got a point.
You did.
There you go.
Let's go. I don't remember who I picked, but it doesn't matter.
Was that
Nino?
It was Nino.
It was one of your Ninos. Whew. The listeners have been amazing at not picking Forsberg when he doesn't score,
and picking him when he does. Yeah, they've been very good at that.
Let's change that, Price.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Price from Nashville. Price, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Well, I'm sorry to say, Joe, but yes, it's going to be Philip Forsberg.
Thank you, Price. We appreciate you calling in.
Well, now I hope he doesn't
score. Selection by Price. He is, I think it's fair to describe him on a heater at the moment. 3 points against Anaheim and then a hat trick against Vegas. I think that qualifies as a heater.
And we know what can happen when he gets into one, man.
Oh, yeah.
It can last like a month. 2-3 weeks, yeah. A month of just like pure gasoline. So they need that.
They do. So Forsberg off the board. Michelle Knezovic up next today in the competition. Your pick to click tonight, Michelle.
So I knew I was going to be first today, and I always ask the caller so I can put it in the notes. And in my head, I was picking Forsberg, but of course, he's already off the board. So I am going to go with Nino Niederreiter.
Going with
you.
Nino.
You got me on the board last time. So
sticking with it.
Come on, Nino.
Sticking with what works. I went off the board Friday and took Tanner Jeannot. I'm not going to do that again. I don't know. This is an interesting spot that they're in. Duchesne got on like a mini heater last week, and then, you know, he had the baby, came back in over the weekend. He looked okay out there. I'm not going Matt Duchesne. I'm going with Roman Josi in the competition. So Forsberg, Niederreiter, and Josi off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Oh, I'm last. Imagine that.
You are.
Wow, my normal spot. I'll go. I think the one-day paternity leave, you know, you shake that off a little bit, and then you get rolling again. So I'm going to go Matt Duchesne.
He's probably not getting any sleep with a newborn,
Matt
though.
Matt Duchesne. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be that.
That's okay. You still picked him.
There you go. Forsberg.
I'm going to change my answer. No, I'm just kidding.
Josi and Duchesne. Your Preds pick to click, presented by TJ Anderson Holmes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Montreal Canadiens. A big game for the Preds tonight from this standpoint. Number one, you need every point that you can get right now if you're the Predators. And this is a Montreal team that, quite frankly, is not very good, that you need to take care of business tonight at home. And then the other part of this, Joe, is this is your last home game until January the 14th. You're going on a five-game road trip. Carolina, Washington, Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal again on the road coming up on this five-game road trip after tonight. So some time away from Bridgestone Arena for the Predators. Need to take advantage of this one tonight at home.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and it's a, yeah, it's, you know, a little bit of a mixed bag moving forward. You know, it's not like crazy tough schedule, but you got to get all the home games you can. And, you know, there is momentum. I mean, they've had a couple of these games where they've, like Willie was telling us, it looked like they were toast. They come back and they get a point out there, almost get a ridiculous, you know, fourth goal to win it. But they've had a couple of games like that. I think there is some momentum, but also, well, let's see. Is it natural stat trick, 19% chance to make the playoffs? I think that's right, 19.1% or whatever. I mean, you gotta start stringing together two-point efforts, yeah. Not one-point efforts.
Well, no question. And look, to their credit, Friday you get the win against Anaheim. I mean, Anaheim's terrible. They went and won 6-1. So, I mean, it's a good
feel-good moment. Feel-good game.
Yeah. Against them. And look, I'll be honest with you. I was doing pre- and post-game for the Vegas game, and – you know, they got up 2-0 in that game, but even when they were up 2-0, Vegas was outplaying them in that game, and it looked like once it got to 4-2 that they're about to get run out of the building. And then Forsberg took over, and I'll say that, like, when he gets rolling on one of these streaks, that's the difference. Like, he can single-handedly win you a game. He can single-handedly get you a point in the game. That's pretty much what he did the other day. He single-handedly got the Predators a point the other day. So you're hoping that that continues and that you can get some other guys to come along with him, namely Duchesne, Yossi, the guys that drove the bus last year. But if he can get on one of these heaters moving forward here, I mean, he can single-handedly, for at least for a period of time, solve some of these offensive problems that you've been having if you're the Predators.
Yeah, they need it. They need it. I got a criticism. I do have a criticism of ESPN.
Okay.
This has happened twice recently. And it's, you know, I mean, it's 8:52 in the morning. So they have the huge, like the big breaking news thing, yep. Right? They come in with the break, you know, big breaking news letters, and they come, and it's come back to like the same, like there's not new. When I see that, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we have something. There's a new development. There's an advancement. And
they're
it's
just
not
repeating.
They're just continuing to talk about the DeMar Hamlin story. Get rid of the huge breaking news while we're all waiting on actual breaking news.
Yeah.
Don't do that, ESPN.
Yeah, that's. I think that's certainly a fair point to bring up. And like we've talked about, Joe, it's, you know, I said this earlier. It's been a little. I don't know if weird is the right word to use, but it's been a little different doing a sports show today.
Yes.
Given what happened last night with DeMar Hamlin, I mean, the only thing I can really think about right now is just how he's doing. You know, prayers with him. Hopefully the best possible outcome is achieved here with DeMar Hamlin in that situation. And for his family, his teammates, just everything involved, you know, the football part of this just seems so secondary right now. And hopefully we'll get some good news at some point today that things are heading in the right direction with him.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other things here, you know, way, way down the list is like the game and all that. But even, you know, I mean, a play like that, I've thought a lot about, like, how possible is that? Like, how like, we had someone text earlier about lacrosse players wearing a pad. I mean, you don't even think about that, like, type of injury. And all that is in his long-term and everything, but we just need to find out that he's okay. That's really all that matters right now.
Yep, and, you know, Buffalo put out a statement last night. He's still in the hospital. At UC Cincinnati, and, you know, I did see a report where his vitals have at least stabilized. So some good news on that front, but he is sedated at this point and, you know, needed assistance breathing heading to the hospital last night. And anytime that's the case, obviously, that's a very serious situation. So we've talked about it all show long, and it just bears repeating now heading into the rest of the day here. Our thoughts and prayers are with DeMar Hamlin and his family. We're hoping for the best outlook possible in that scenario. And any updates that may come about today, we'll have them for you here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Joe, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Michelle, episode number 2, coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.